Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest is an Emmy-nominated NFL analyst, journalist, and podcast host. You know from her work on ESPN's NFL Live. Her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, is available on all platforms. Please welcome to the show, Mina Kimes, everybody.
I'm Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre finds out.
I'm Mina.
Hello.
Around the horn. Let's go.
Mina, you are the greatest crossword puzzler that we know.
The Rewatchables is brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. She works for ESPN, does football. Mina Kimes. First time in a while, first one in person. You'll do this again with us.
An honor to talk about.
Did you have fun?
The goat. Oh, my God. You texted me, do you like it's complicated? Nancy Myers. And I was like, this is the moment I've been waiting my whole life for.
I know. It's really, really exciting when you get one of those texts.
She's an NFL analyst on ESPN. I can tell from simply the look on her face. She does not want to in on this conversation.
I just went through the game tape of Mina on Jeopardy.
Let me say this to you. I want to applaud you, you know, not just for your brilliance, but for your bravery, because it was me. I would never show up on Jeopardy unless I was hosting. I would never even think to be somebody trying to answer them damn questions. I don't give a damn what it is.
She's a journalist, currently working as an NFL analyst at ESPN. Here's Mina Kimes.
Representing the purple and gold, an Alaskan Malamute named Dubs is the live mascot of this Seattle University's sports teams. Mina.
University of Washington. What is the University of Washington?
That's correct.
Had to get that one.
Don't forget your phrasing. 19,400 makes you tonight's Jeopardy champion, and it puts you in the semifinals.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Hearing Mina describe on Pablo's podcast on the mechanism to buzz in gave me
so much anxiety.
Yes. Because I would have been exactly the same way that she was in talking about it. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. Carmi V is in for Spiegs today. And she's like, well, why don't we talk with Mina about the Bears and about the NFL? So we bring Mina onto the show on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Mina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. That was honestly the longest intro about myself I've ever listened to. So I really enjoyed reliving some of those highlights.
Well, our guy Chris Tannehill is the best in the business, and he loves to bring people out in a great way. And thank you for joining us. But first things first, how would you describe Caleb Williams' season this year?
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Fireworks, I think, is the word that comes to mind. I mean, some of the biggest, most impressive high leverage moments of the entire, not just NFL season, but postseason. You certainly saw the talent that led to him being drafted first overall. I think you saw the progress as a Bears fan that you were hoping for with the investments they made, both in the offense and also the head coach. And I think the arrow is pointing up, so you have to be excited. Obviously, there's things he has to work on. Him and Ben both know that. But for a year or two, I think it's a pretty exciting time to be a Bears fan.
The city has just been so electric throughout the postseason. Something, you know, they outperformed any and all expectations, I think, that anyone could have possibly had this year. But so much of it, I always point back to, Mina, is about this offensive line and how much Ben prioritizes that. The Bears are now looking at, all right, the left tackle spot is that's the weakness at this point. Is it something they need to prioritize, or because four of the five spots are great, do you think that this offense can still ride this into another year under Ben Johnson where they're improving?
It's a great question, and obviously kind of came to a head with the injuries. I think it's something you'd want to see them address while also, you know, keeping one of the guys at least that they already have. But I also think there are just bigger needs on this team that need to be addressed. If you're thinking about your first round or, you know, where you really want to spend money in draft picks, I do think I would focus on the defense, particularly the pass rush, mm-hmm. more so than that. But, you know, it all depends on how the draft shakes out and is available.
Mina, I figured that Ben Johnson would have an impact. I didn't think it would be this. From people that you talk to from around the NFL and your own scouting of it, why do you think this worked so well with Ben Johnson in year one?
Because he's a great offensive coach. I mean, this was a hire that, and you guys know this from being local, but just nationally, I don't think I heard a single person say it was a bad hire, right? Like, I was pretty universally loved along with Mike Vrabel, and then surprise, surprise, they end up doing an awesome job. Sometimes the obvious thing is the smart thing. You know, that's how I felt about Ben Johnson. Sometimes, all right, the guy who called, you know, one of the most innovative and successful offensive coaches of the last few years, wow, turned out he was just as innovative and successful in Chicago. So, you know, but I think the thing you never know, guys, is how well someone can manage an entire team, how well someone can manage in-game, overcome adversity, the CEO parts of being the head coach, and obviously he hit that out of the park as well.
Yeah, isn't that Occam's razor is the most obvious, like, choice is probably the right one. All right, I want to get to some stuff this weekend also, because as excited as we are in Chicago, the playoffs are over for the Bears for right now. Their season is over, but there are four teams still playing. And it's something that was brought up with actually another guest we had on, where the Broncos-Pats game is so interesting to me. Not because I think it's going to be better than we'll get to the Seahawks, I promise. But how much of a difference does it make that Jarrett Stidham is starting over Bo Nix, given who Bo Nix is to this team and how this team is built? Does it matter as much as maybe... I don't know. I feel like a key defensive injury might have been more catastrophic for the Broncos.
Yeah, you know, it matters a lot because it's the quarterback position, but I do think it's less than, I don't know, if like Drew Lock had to start for Sam Darnold, you mm-hmm. know, and maybe that's not a good comparison, but because I do think like schematically it's going to be pretty similar. I think from what I've seen of Jarrett Stidham and like everyone else, I've spent the last few days grinding Jarrett Stidham's
game. God bless us, everyone.
I know, right? He's a capable NFL backup, man. Like, he's accurate. He's reasonably athletic. I think he can throw the ball deep. I think where you worry is two things. Bo is really good at avoiding negative plays, sacks, mm-hmm. turnovers. And I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being a difference. Mm. And then, you know, Bo's athleticism, they use him as part of the designed run game, and I don't think that we're going to see that with Jarrett Stidham. So I'm not going to tell you that it's not a downgrade, but I don't think it's like a massive, like, game, you know, like world-changing, like going from, like, sure to win, no chance kind of situation.
As you can imagine, here in Chicago, we're paying attention to the other quarterbacks from Caleb's draft class. And there's some compare and contrast. How did Drake May go from having a solid rookie season to then going to an MVP candidate season in year two?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few things that factor into this. You know, I was really impressed by him, his rookie season. I'll start there. Really terrible, terrible circumstances. And I thought, despite that, he was very impressive with his decision-making and some of the plays he made, honestly, under pressure were just remarkable. So the Patriots improving those circumstances really set the table for him to take another leap in year two. I don't think he's playing with a group of world beaters, and that factored into my MVP vote. But I do think Stephon Diggs and Kayshon Boutte have been really impressive and important to this offense, as you saw last week. And then the offensive line, the rookie left tackle might be struggling in the postseason, but the rest of the offensive line has been playing pretty well. And then you throw on top of that, Josh McDaniels is a very good play caller. So I just think, yeah, he's not playing on, like, the Monstars or whatever, but everything around him has improved And that coupled with the fact that he was already kind of an ascending player has led us to this moment.
I want to talk to you then now about the Seattle Seahawks season, because going into this year, I think there was a lot of question marks as to what they were even doing. When you look at last offseason, the departures they had, the pickups they had, you get Sam Darnold and you think, all right, is he actually fixed or was that just Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota? It was very unclear what the Seahawks were doing, and it all just kind of worked. And now they look like the most complete team in the conference, if not the most complete team in the league. I have a feeling they are just going to run through the Rams. You probably don't want to hear that. But what has this season been like for you as a Seahawks fan to see the maturation in year two under Mike McDonald?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And it starts with the defense, right? Mm-hmm. This is a defense-led team. They have the best league defense, arguably in the NFL, certainly left in the postseason. And it is reminiscent of those Legion of Boom years, yep, where you would be watching this team and you'd be almost excited when the defense took the field because they were so dominant. And I think the way I would characterize it when you think about, like, okay, how'd they get here? Well, last season they finished 10th in DVOA. So this is already a unit on the rise in Mike McDonald, who, by the way, has now done this in two places, in both Baltimore and Seattle, going from – this is the thing I think people really forget, and I made this case when I was talking about why I voted for Mike for Coach of the Year. The defense was very bad in 2023. I know people have, like, you know, memories of Pete Carroll and these great defenses. Near the end of his tenure there, this was a defense that really struggled. And – for him to turn it around so quickly, some of it has to do with the players they've added, no doubt. And they've obviously spent some high draft picks on defense that have all hit. But I think he's just done a remarkable job on that side of the ball, and that's the biggest reason why they are what they are.
This is kind of like the Mina Bowl, because obviously she's a 12, but she also worked for the Rams as a commentator.
He lives in L.A., yeah.
So look, we have watched Ben Johnson do some cool stuff in 13 personnel, and one of the biggest moments that the Bears had was a touchdown pass to DJ Moore out of 13 personnel. Sean McVay has changed his whole profile as a coach, as a guy that was running out of 11, and now he's doing crazy stuff out of 13.
Except against the Bears, apparently, last week.
Except against the Bears. So I'd love to know, like, he's so good at this. How is it that the adaptation that he seems to be able to have, where you can flip a switch and go from being a primary 11 team to using 30% of the time and being successful?
Yeah, it's funny, guys, though, because, like, in the playoffs, he's kind of dialed that back with Davante Adams. Yeah, so, like, but going back and rewatching Week 16, it was something that they leaned on pretty heavily. They weren't super successful doing so. Seattle, of course, is very unique in that because they have two very physical defensive backs who are both kind of hybrid slots in Witherspoon and Emanuori, they're able to defend the run versus, you know, when teams put multiple tight ends or running backs on the field in a way most teams cannot. I think it's what the Bears would probably like to be with Gordon at some point. So they're unique. The Rams are unique, and I think that's what makes this matchup so interesting, sort of the chess match from a personnel perspective between both coaches.
All right, real quick, I have to get to this before we let you go. What are we about to see on the Great British Baking American Baking Show? Excuse me. Mina, I've been waiting for this since you told me that it was happening, and I cannot. I'm so excited for you. What are we in for? Also, you were the last person to, like, get Prue as a judge. She retired.
I know. R.I.P. Or no, sorry. I don't know why I said that. That was so weird. End of an era. My addled brain went. Yeah, so it was so much fun. I got to go to London for a few days to tape that, and I competed with Julian Edelman, Antonio Gates, and Von Miller. And I won't spoil it, but one of them practiced a lot and even hired a coach, and it really shows. And you guys can speculate as to who. I won't tell you.
Ooh, what a tease. Okay, I love that.
It's a great tease.
It's like she does this for, like, a living or something. It's
so,
like,
wait,
she's a host.
Our guy Spice isn't hosting that, is he?
I just declare the host dead, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mina, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We know that you got to get to wherever it is that you're trying to go, but thanks for picking up the phone and hanging out with us and talking ball.
great time talking to you guys. Have a great day.
All right. Bye, you too, Mina.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.